Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Hard Currency, the podcast of the Financial Times on the foreign exchange market. I'm Roger Blitz, and this week has brought some dramatic developments regarding Brexit, and yet the impact on the pound has been rather restrained. Is this the moment that sterling bulls have been waiting for, when they can finally see a flaw in the pound after months of decline? Or is there a great deal more turmoil coming to the UK and its currency? And we're also going to be talking about trade tensions with Donald Trump arriving in the UK and with further tensions taking place with China. So with me to discuss these issues is Ugo Lancioni, fixed income and currency portfolio manager at Neuberger Berman. Ugo, first of all, Brexit. Sterling, it's lost 8% since its high in April. It's feeling very unloved, undervalued. But there is a sense from some investors that this could be the moment to start seeing a rally. Do you agree with that?
I do. You're absolutely right. The market reaction to the resignations of Mr. David Davis has been very limited so far.
And Boris Johnson as well.
I mean, the market has reacted a little bit more on the resignation of Boris Johnson,
yes.
Of course. That wasn't really expected, yes, to be happening so quickly. But certainly the pound has reacted, has only adjusted slightly since then. And I believe that's a function of the undervaluation of the pound. If you look at the big picture, our assessment is the pound is still 10 to 15% undervalued.
Yes.
From a PPP perspective versus the other major currencies,
yes,
but also versus the euro. And also, if you look at what's implied in the interest rate market, the implied probability of an interest rate hike in August is actually still fairly high.
75%, something
it's
like that?
It's probably 75 to 80%.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, on top of that, you still have about 35 to 40 basis points priced in for the next 12 months, which means that the market is expecting the Bank of England to hike once more, or, you know, certainly one hike and probably two. The UK economy is—I wouldn't say is shining. I mean, for sure, it's not doing extremely well. But you know, we had encouraging data lately. June PMIs were okay, and also consumer sentiment data has been a little bit better. I think the next key developments are going to be the level of criticism that May receives both domestically and in Europe.
Okay, but I want to ask this. I mean, as a portfolio manager, you've been watching Brexit now for the best part of 2 years. To what extent did you feel a sense of, I don't know, relief or a sense of thank goodness at last we now have some clearer skies in Brexit? Or do you feel that it's all still terribly, terribly, you know, convoluted and very difficult to see? I mean, for a start, this white paper, this 98-page document they brought out on Brexit, it's people tell me it's a negotiating position. It's something to take to Europe and to start really talking about. Is that how you feel?
Yes. I mean, there is still uncertainty, but I think we're getting so close. And a soft Brexit deal would probably be a very positive for sterling.
Yeah.
My view is that there is about 10% Brexit risk premium in the price of sterling.
Right.
If you get a soft Brexit, probably half of that at least will go.
Yes.
So you have potentially 4 or 5% appreciation if we get towards soft Brexit. And this, I haven't gone through all the 98 pages yet, as this was just released.
No.
But there is a good chance that I think we're heading towards a soft Brexit.
The thing over the last 2 years, you know, has been this issue of Boris Johnson, you know, when he might resign. We finally had that moment, and in a sense, we kind of watched it go by. I mean, we don't, he may be still keeping his powder dry. He may still come back and retaliate and challenge Theresa May. But it was quite a moment that it wasn't a moment this week, if you get my my meaning.
I would agree. I think the market is still reluctant to take big positions here because other factors are in play. Cable and the price action of sterling is not just about Brexit. But I think from my perspective, we're long sterling. We like sterling at these levels, purely from a valuation perspective, despite the fact that the economic data is not fantastic, I would say. But I think there's room for a rally. You know, we went up to almost 145 at some stage earlier this year, and we've gone back on the back of those Brexit concerns, and partially because the dollar has been very strong. So there's certainly room for appreciation against both the dollar at some stage, but more importantly, I think against euro.
Are you coming back into sterling? Are you buying back into it?
We are. Yeah.
Okay. And what is going to stop you from going much more back into sterling? Is it going to be the reaction of Theresa May's Tory party backbenchers, or is it going to be the reaction of the European Union to this white paper, or is it going to be a mixture of both?
In the short term, it's going to be a little of both, I would say. In the medium to long term, it's going to be the macroeconomic data. I mean, we always focus on the macroeconomic data. So the macroeconomic data is going to drive the performance, yes, of sterling over the long run, but also interest rate differentials have come back in play. If the Bank of England delivers another hike and maybe another, you know, before the end of the year, you know, before the next 12 months, I would say you still have quite a bit of a building gap between Europe and the UK, and that could help sterling to appreciate further.
Okay, let's move on to the trade tensions. I mean, every week in hard currency, we talk about this virtually. And there seems to be every week a different set of anxiety about it. Within this week, we seem to have it all encapsulated, both anxiety and then it's coming off. There's a back and forth. It's not really, it seems to be hard for the market to grab hold of a view on these trade tensions. Do you think that is the way it's going to be for quite a while? What are you hoping to emerge out of this?
Yeah, I mean, we have to get used to it, I think.
Right.
I think this issue is going to stay with us for a while. Mm-hmm. But as we know, we could have unpredictable headlines around it, especially if Trump starts tweeting. And you could have a situation where suddenly things improve in terms of relationship between the U.S. and China, and also potentially the U.S. could be a little bit less aggressive at some stage down the road after quite an aggressive stance over the last couple of months.
Well, when you say down the road, I mean, are you looking at the midterm elections in November as a moment for when that aggression gets turned off, when Trump has exhausted the rhetoric and the electioneering around the trade tensions?
Absolutely, yes. I think from a political perspective, the 6th of November is a very important goal for Trump. You know,
it
needs to.
Why you're saying it was going to take a while, because it's not exactly round the corner,
it's
is
not
it?
Round the corner. It's another few months before that, and we got the summer in between. Yes. Still, that could be quite volatile.
In which case should we? Because it feels like the channel in which this is really being expressed is the renminbi, which again touched back into 670 territory on the offshore. Do we just follow the People's Bank of China as close as possible and expect them to not allow it to depreciate so far and so fast?
Now, let me say the renminbi has already dropped about 7% since. Since its highs, yes, and against the dollar, so the we have seen already a substantial depreciation of the renminbi. I'm not suggesting that the People's Bank of China are trying to retaliate through the exchange rate, but the market is expecting that at some stage. So the market is certainly speculating that that's a way to retaliate. So we could have more depreciation of the renminbi if the situation escalates. Having said that, they have made some statements last week that suggested that they are not planning to retaliate through the exchange rate. Mm-hmm. And so that has certainly helped the market calming down a little bit. I think we're also seeing a little bit of stabilization in emerging markets. Those markets are still a little bit volatile today after the announcement of of the additional 200 billion tariffs, but it is certainly something to keep an eye on, especially in light of the fact that this the exchange rate, the Chinese exchange rate, was certainly a trigger for a lot of volatility a couple of years ago.
Indeed. And just finally, Ugo, I mean, we mentioned earlier that actually with regard to the UK, the market is really looking at the Bank of England as much as Brexit. Similarly, with the dollar, the market is really looking at the Fed and the US economy as much as trade tensions. Isn't that where the real focus is?
Yes, I think, you know, the Fed has been almost on autopilot over the last year or so.
Yes.
They have been...
It's a very strong inflation numbers are out.
Strong inflation number. I mean, yeah, strong inflation numbers. They were in line with expectation, but of course, you know, the path is up.
Yes.
The direction is up. And the removal of this monetary stimulus, really, that... you know, we had in place for such a long time, I would say it's consistent with the pickup in growth, pickup in employment, and also pickup in inflation that you have in the US, and also with the higher energy prices. Now, I think what's going on is that the US administration has managed to sort of immunize the US economy by introducing a nice fiscal boost at the beginning of this year. From potential shocks, certainly the trade war could be one of those shocks.
Yes.
So they are enjoying the benefits of the positive sentiment around the fiscal boost. Equity markets in the U.S. outperforming the markets around the rest of the world. The Go Global trade, which was a very popular trade at the end of last year, at the beginning of this year, has been unwound lately. We have seen a lot of selling of emerging markets, a lot of selling in buying of bonds, selling in European equities.
Sure.
So certainly, the synchronized growth story that was the big story last year is no longer what investors believe is going to happen in the next few months. And if the Fed keeps removing stimulus, I mean, the U.S. will be able to navigate better those turbulent times than other economies. I think that's what we're seeing getting priced in the markets over the last few months.
Well, we will hear more about that when the Federal Reserve Chair Jay Powell appears next week in front of senators to talk about monetary policy and look at its likely impact on the dollar. My thanks to Ugo Lancioni of Neuberger Berman. Join us again for Hard Currency next week. Until then, it's goodbye.